We are at 3:20. We're going to continue to move on, and we are going to go to the rest of our proposals. Number 8 on our agenda, the bobcat status update and hunting season.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. I'm Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator, and we'll start here with, as you mentioned, number 8, bobcat status update in hunting season. And I believe we're going to pull up a presentation, if you will, and Brady Nihilus will present some background information on bobcats.
Brady, there we go.
Hey, how are you looking, Chris?
Good. You're good.
There it goes. Okay. Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, my name is Brady Nihilus. Let me move some things here. I'm a wildlife biologist working with senior wildlife biologist Chad Lehman out of our Custer State Park office. It's a pleasure to be here again with you concerning bobcat management in South Dakota. If you remember from the Bobcat Action Plan, we divided South Dakota into 3 management zones: East River, West River, and the Black Hills. We also defined 2 harvest strategies: moderate harvest, which is a 52-day season that allows for unlimited bobcat harvest per trapper or hunter, and low harvest strategy, also a 52-day season, but limits the trapper or hunter to 1 bobcat per season. The department recommends no change to the West River and East River seasons, West River being unlimited 52-day season, and East River being a 1 bobcat per trapper or hunter 52-day season. The department recommends moving from moderate to low harvest strategy in the Black Hills zone, allowing 1 bobcat per hunter or trapper. Our 6-year study in the Black Hills supports this low harvest strategy with a declining population. Population estimates have been low for several years, with abundance estimates between 129 to 161 bobcats in the Black Hills. For their simulation analysis, demonstrated that a low kitten and juvenile survival probability is reflected in the juvenile to adult ratios, which is how we defined our management index in the action plan. Low juvenile to adult ratios suggest low recruitment and negative population growth rates. The age ratio has been below our 10% threshold 3 out of the past 4 years. And this table highlights the number of bobcats harvested per trapper for the Black Hills zone. As you can see, yes, the majority of hunter or trappers harvest only 1 or 2 bobcats. Here in the first column, for number of bobcats harvested per trapper, that's the majority of our harvest. The primary driver of population growth in bobcats is adult female survival. The contribution they make to future growth is realized in adult fecundity and subsequent kitten and juvenile survival, as seen here in these elasticity and sensitivity values, which is basically a way we measure how important different age classes or sex are to the population. The most important being here adult survival in bold and adult fecundity. We've been hitting female bobcats pretty hard in the Black Hills, with harvest close to 50% female male. This graph on your left shows population growth rate as it relates to harvest rate. It's generally accepted based on previous studies throughout the West that bobcat populations cannot be harvested above a 20% harvest rate and hold the population. In the Black Hills, we have seen a 23 to 24% harvest rate. Even more so with our low juvenile and kitten survival observed in the Black Hills, we would need to reduce harvest from the current 23% of the abundance estimate to 7 to 9% for a positive mean growth rate. This is a basic illustration showing how removing a female bobcat from the population is additive. And we compare here how removing a female not pregnant and a pregnant female affects population. By the third end of the third year, you can see the numbers in red. The possible effect on population is pretty significant. In short, concerning the Black Hills Management Zone, we are above what we'd like to see for harvest based on our population estimate, and we are removing too many females. But the low recruitment and low kitten and juvenile survival we observed during the six-year study, the Black Hills is likely unable to support harvest at its current level. Survival estimates from a 2016 study and percent of the estimated population being harvested in West River indicate that the population is not being exploited. So we recommend no change for West River. We have seen the age ratio below 10% for only 1 year in 21-22. And this is what we would consider the primary range for bobcats in South Dakota, with harvest ranging from 106 to 218 bobcats in the past 4 years. We have very little demographic or vital rate information concerning bobcats in East River, so we recommend keeping East River in the low harvest strategy. And at this point, harvest is minimal and has varied from 21 to 49 bobcats over the past 4 years. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Brady. Any questions on the presentation that we just had? Seeing none right now, I know, Andrew, you're going to present some stuff as well, so perhaps we'll have more questions after you're done.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Brady, for that presentation. As I mentioned, we're on agenda item number 8, bobcat trapping and hunting season, chapter 410801. Brady covered a lot of the biological information, the supportive information, so I probably won't get into that too much. I will touch on it briefly and reiterate what he mentioned. I will start by going through this recommendation. Again, the commission would need to take action on this, being as though this is the first time this has been presented, and this would go out for a proposal and then be finalized in September. Just a quick run through the season structure for bobcats. Different between residents and non-residents. Residents can hunt from December 26th to February 15th every single year. Non-resident season start is delayed a little bit. That one only starts the second Saturday in January and then runs to the same end date of February 15th. This would be a two-year recommendation, so if the proposal is action is taken on it, it would go for 2 years. Two things with bobcats. Brady covered the limit currently. There's just that one cat per trapper, East River, and then West River, including the Black Hills. It's unlimited. Getting into items 2, 3, and 4 under requirements and restrictions, bobcats do need to be registered, so just like mountain lions, we get a very good number on the harvest and age and sex information from the harvest, and we collect some other demographic data such as aging the tooth to the specific age class, not only just kittens and adults. So we use that information, as Brady alluded to get things like recruitment rates. Again, Brady mentioned that we've got really good data in the Black Hills from a recent study we completed, suggesting that that population is declining. And then importantly, you hear me at the mic talking a lot about harvest rates with deer and elk and what's a sustainable harvest rate. I think we saw a pretty clear signal that the harvest rate we were able to measure with that radial collar study was unsustainable. So that's resulting in a decreasing population. Certainly there's other factors that affect bobcats, such as rabbit abundance. But when we see from the radial collared animals, X percent get harvested, that's above a threshold that we know or result in a stable or increasing population, we know that that's too much harvest. So that's basically the department's recommendation. As you see here, specifically in the Black Hills, where we have very good information, it's also public land, so it's easy to exploit a wildlife population on almost 100% public land. I think it's maybe 75-85% in the Black Hills compared to other regions like West River, where there's obviously a lot more private land. So that recommendation is to limit hunters and trappers to one animal per hunter or trapper per year, Still providing opportunity. We just had a long discussion about turkeys. It is an unlimited opportunity, so every hunter is free to purchase this license. They're just limited to only taking one animal per year. Going through the specific change to rule, we would need to add in that description for the Black Hills unit because that's not currently in rule, because previously it was just all of West River, including the Black Hills. There was that unlimited. So the simple change is to describe the Black Hills unit that would be limited to one calf, similar to what East River is currently limited to. And I will quickly draw attention to the table that Brady mentioned. I believe it's on page 26. It's a couple pages after the end of this proposal, but that shows the number of cats harvested per individual. We don't have a lot of trappers in the Black Hills. It's about maybe 15 individual trappers, so not many hunters. It's actually really interesting to see that such a few amount of hunters can actually negatively affect the population. But more importantly is that if we limited this to one cat per hunter, we could reduce the harvest by about 75%. So what we're seeing is there's a few hunters, about a third of them, that are taking a lot more than just one cat. Some are taking 10, 15, 20 cats per year. So it's those individuals that are really affecting the population here. So obviously the consequence is it negatively affects some opportunity, but we feel that's warranted given this decline that we're noticing in the population as a function of harvest. So with that, can take any questions.
Very good. Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast. On bobcats, will they fill in areas? I mean, will they move like your West River unit? You know, if they get so much population, will they move for new territory, like go to the hills and help repopulate that? Or are they just pretty much stationary where they're raised, and or they go find their own territory? I'm trying to say.
Through the chair. So a lot of my background is in deer and not as much in bobcats, but all these species basically act the same. It's just a different level. So the difference between, if you ask that question about a deer, I'd say, yeah, they fill in some territories, but not nearly as much as a predator will, where they're a little bit more territorial. In addition, there's a lot more competition that goes on with these predators. We see a lot of that with maybe mountain lions and bobcats as well. So to your point, they definitely fill in areas. There's dispersal in all species. They're going to either naturally disperse, where they try to have some sort of inbreeding avoidance, and that helps colonize new areas. But also just these predators do move around a lot. We have a lot better data on mountain lions with GPS data, and we can see that they move vast distances. We hear reports all the time of bobcats from the Black Hills ending up in Chicago, or excuse me, not bobcats, lions ending up in Chicago. Some even end up all the way on the East Coast in Connecticut. So bobcats probably don't move nearly as much as lions, but definitely have the ability to recolonize new areas.
Thank you for that. Additional questions for Andrew or Brady? Seeing none, we do need to take action on this proposal before us, so we need a motion and a second. Move to approve by Commissioner Beast.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Whitmire. All those in favor of adopting the proposal, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the proposal is adopted. Thank you, sir.
All right.
And you're going to remain with us for item number 9, spring turkey hunting season, although... let's do that tomorrow per our conversation regarding the petitions. We'll hold that until tomorrow. And with that, let's just take a 5-minute break so we can regroup to make sure we're on track, and we'll be back in 5 minutes.